I need to check the time. Little boy asked his mother, what does it mean when the preacher puts his watch on the pulpit? She said, it means absolutely nothing. When, yeah, Beth will help me. When the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, when the Creator became a creature, there was a paradigm shift in the nature of reality. In the Old Testament, you have the sacred secular. You have, take off your shoes, this is holy ground. You have the tabernacle, you have the temple, you have holy places, holy things. But when the Word became one of us, the Son of God, God became a man, life became sacred. Not talking about sin, we're going to talk about sin this morning. These are not, your notes are not speed bumps, they're barricades in the mission. We don't have this sacred, secular, clergy, laity, I'm just a layman kind of thing. None of that. One is our master, according to Matthew 23:8, and all of us are brothers. And we don't, life is sacred. So going to church and worshiping is sacred. Having your quiet time, worshiping God all by yourself, is sacred. Teaching school is sacred. Practicing medicine is sacred. Golf is sacred. For me, it's a little more difficult than others. Title of my biography is How to Line Up Your Fourth Putt with Confidence. But it's all sacred. We don't have the totem pole, God, family, ministry, work, recreation, and so on. It's all sacred. Relax. Breathe deeply. Stop hyperventilating. And, well, I got to do this job because the ministry is over here. No. Everything you do is ministry. Everything we do is unto the Lord. Medicine, education, whatever it is, it's sacred. The 8-lane freeway has to do with the will of God. There are two extremes. One is the will of God is willy-nilly doing anything you want. I'm not sure that's biblical. The other is this tightrope over Niagara Falls. And I've got to be careful I don't get out of the will of God. One false step and I'm dead. No. If you're moving the right direction, walking in fellowship with Jesus Christ, investing your life in other men and women, God doesn't care if you're in the right lane, the middle lane, the left lane. He doesn't care how fast you're going unless you're breaking the speed limit and drive in any lane you want. It's broad. It's not as wide as the state of Kansas, but it's not a tightrope. So, any comments, sweetheart? I need to go to Buzzy first. Any comments, sweetheart? Thank you. Okay, now it's open. Question, clarification, or something else from last night that needs to be fine-tuned or erased. I call these five spiritual infectious diseases. They're barricades, hindrances to our accomplishing the mission. And every time I read Hebrews 12, it's the sin that so easily besets me. Paul, early in his ministry, writing to the Corinthians, said, I'm the least of the apostles. And he kept walking with God, growing and maturing. And years later, writing to the Ephesians, he said, I'm the least of all saints. In the end of his life, he's writing a letter to his best friend, Timothy. And he says, I'm the chief of sinners. Now, Paul was maturing, growing in Christ, but there was a greater and greater and greater awareness, a greater sensitivity to sin. Let's look at Psalm 32 together for just a few moments. Beginning with verse 3, when I kept silence, David had sinned, and he tried to cover it up. When I kept silence, my bones became old through my roaring all day long. Day and night, your hand was heavy upon me. My moisture has turned into the drought of summer. And finally he says, I acknowledge my sin unto thee. My iniquity have I not hidden. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord. And you forgave the iniquity of my sin. We try to hide. Adam and Eve took the fruit and ate it and hid. They hid in the garden. They hid among the trees. Who gave them the trees? God gave them the trees. They were hiding from God in the midst of the gifts of God. And believers today are hiding from God, being busy using their gifts. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. Timothy 2:19, let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. I didn't put 2 Corinthians 7:1 in here, but put them in your notes if you'd like. Let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. 2 Corinthians 7:1. Thank you. Jeremiah says, let us search and test our ways, Lamentations 3:40, and turn again to the Lord. Sometime today, or at least by tomorrow afternoon, let me ask you, please, to consider just getting some time. My quiet time this morning, I prayed over these five things and asked the Lord to search my heart. Take time and say, Lord, is there something in my life that I need to make right with you and my wife, my husband, my children? There may not be, and that's great. It's wonderful. But you gave him the opportunity to speak. You took time to listen. We're in such a hurry. The thing that characterizes our life is speed. We want faster iPhones, fourth generation at least, or whatever the latest thing is. Speed. We clamp on the headphones. We go through life in a hurry. Slow down. Listen. And ask the Lord, is there something in your life that needs to be made right? Let me just pause there. Is there a question, comment, observation? I don't want to labor the point. Not here. Yeah.
Midst of business of life, just one practical way we can slow down without completely coming to a stop?
Well, Larry, I would say, what is one of the things we can do to help us slow down? Was that the question? Talk to your spouse about your schedule. Yeah, John 15 talks about pruning. What is it he's going to prune? I think it's a lot of activities and a lot of stuff. We don't go to Walmart. We go to Stuff Mart. And I look around and I think, it's amazing how much stuff I can get along without. I just rejoice every time I go to Walmart. at the stuff I don't need. We're pilgrims. We travel light. Some people are pilgrims with a U-Haul trailer. Well, okay. It's good to have some stuff. But we overdo it. I'd say that would be step one. Obviously, prayer. Lord, does this activity have my name on it? Oh. My suggestion is, if you're in a church, and I hope you are, one activity in the church, one committee at the hospital, one neighborhood responsibility, but just do the 1-1-1 thing, not 3-5-7. We're human beings, not human doings. Any other comment? Thank you, Larry. Anxiety. Christians don't worry. They're concerned. Well, there's probably a healthy concern. But inordinate stress is very, very hard on the system. OCD is not a spiritual virtue. But how many of us tend in that direction? Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Trust in the Lord forever. And there are all kinds of things that come under anxiety, not just distractions. Philippians 4:6, let that be anxious for nothing. I need to take that navigator memory course. Be anxious for very few things. Every now and then the Bible uses a word like nothing. I think, oh, why did he have to say that? It's like, kind of like daily. Couldn't he have? There's no wiggle room in daily. There's no wiggle room in nothing. Be anxious for nothing. And anxiety at this point is a matter of unbelief. It's slandering God. As often as you need to, go to 1 Peter 5:7. It's a spiritual delete button. Casting all your care upon Him. For He cares for you. He cares for you. In the words from the shack, He's especially fond of you. My translation of 1 Peter 5:7 is, Lord, I have the distinct impression that you have a serious problem. Now, if the Lord wants me to do something, He says, yes, it's my problem, and this is what I want you to do. Do what the Lord asks you to do. Doesn't mean we're irresponsible. It just means that we know whose problem it is. It's not mine, it's His. And He says, okay, it's my problem, but you do this and this. Yes, sir. We're obedient, submissive. We serve him. But it's his problem. I put in here that YouTube and Facebook and Twitter are merging. Most of you have heard this. The new company is called You're a Twit Face. But anxiety drains us, causes us to lose focus. It's a barricade in accomplishing the mission. So, any feedback, interaction? You want to talk about that? Yes, ma'am.
I remember the time you told me that worry works because most of the things you're worried about don't happen.
You're right. Beth reminded me. Worry works because most of the things you worry about don't happen. Well, then, some of you will get that at coffee break. Okay. All right. I'm sorry?
What's the suitcase?
Oh, we talked about suitcases last night, and I don't know why I put it in here. It's pardon me? Put the suitcase back on the conveyor belt. That's the idea. And you say, well, how do I know if the suitcase is mine? Prayer, counsel with your wife or husband, counsel with godly friends. If they say this suitcase has your name on it, it probably does. Otherwise, somebody else is looking for it. They're in the baggage claim office filing. Addiction, spiritual junk food. There are a lot of excellent books today written by godly men and women. Benefit from them. But there's also this, it's kind of like you go in the supermarket. About half the food in there is worth eating and the other half isn't. It's really not that good for you. The same thing could be said of Christian bookstores. And I'm for Christian bookstores. I'm for NAV Press. Don't misunderstand me. But be discriminating in what you read. Spend most of your time in the Bible. Tom mentioned the importance of the Bible. Another illustration of what Tom said is when Satan came to Jesus in Matthew 4 and said, if you're the Son of God, Jesus could have said, funny you should ask. Because in Matthew 3, there's a voice from heaven saying, you're my beloved son. Jesus made no reference whatsoever to the experience. He went to the written word of God, to Deuteronomy, and submitted to its authority. Jesus elevated the written word over the voice from heaven. That's how important the scriptures are. So spend most of your reading, at least half your reading time, preferably more, in the Bible, the Word of God, the Scriptures. God has spoken. Hebrews 1:1. God has spoken. And I put something else in here, worship style debates. It's amazing to me how much time is wasted with believers every Sunday morning between Sunday school and church debating over the virtues of their particular style of worship. Stop it. Style of worship is a matter of great indifference to God. Worship in spirit and in truth, the substance of worship is what matters, not style. Spend the time in prayer. Do something else constructive. But we're addicted to these little debates. We need more tier leaders and fewer cheerleaders. I'm all for people, you know, Buzzy had two shoulders put in. She's a reformed Restored charismatic. That's wonderful. But for everybody doing this, I would hope there's somebody doing this. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. In Luke 18, the man cried out, "Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner." And God heard that prayer. "To this man will I look, to the one who has a contrite heart and who trembles at my word." Now, think about that. How often do we tremble when we read the word of God? Probably not as often as we should. And then we're addicted to the sacred secular thing. Hundreds of other addictions. We're an addictive society. But they're barricades to our progress with the mission of loving people into the kingdom. So any thoughts, questions, observations? We're doing good time-wise. Craig.
With the emphasis on the Word, Christ the Word, it's very interesting that Christ says, "It's better for you," to his disciples, "that I leave so that I can give you the counselor." So with the Word, we also have the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And it was better that Christ left. We had that Spirit.
Absolutely. You just preached a Sunday morning message. Thank you. You can all go home Saturday night. You're absolutely right, yeah. There was a cowboy, did I tell you?
Repeat the question.
Stand up, please, doctor. Yeah.
Just the word is so powerful, as we've heard, yet Christ is with the disciples, and he says to them, "It is better for you that I leave." That Christ leaves them so that he can send the counsel. And he has. And we have the Holy Spirit in us to interpret that word for us.
Amen. Thank you. I don't drink anything stronger than pop. Pop drinks most anything. You'll get that after lunch. Oh, there's water up here. I'm sorry. Thank you, sweetheart. There's three bottles behind me. Bitterness. This is a barricade built out of granite blocks. It's a poison we swallow and hope the other guy dies. It's exactly what it is. I understand cardiovascular disease is probably the leading cause of death in America. Bitterness is the leading cause of death in the church in various forms. An unforgiving spirit. It's interesting in the Luke 18 passage, the Pharisee's behavior when he said to God, "I thank you that I'm not like this man," went through the list. Everything he did was biblical, not godly. Biblical in quotes. Meditating some time ago on the Lord's Prayer. "It be our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, so on. It's God, 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 God. And then it goes over here. Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever, and so on. It ends with God. But there's one thing in the Lord's Prayer we do. One thing. What is it?
Forgive.
We forgive. We forgive. An unforgiving spirit is a chain. It stops your growth. It stops your progress. It stops moving on the mission. There is a convent in Washington, D.C., surrounded by a tall chain link fence. And every so often there's a sign on the fence: trespassers will be prosecuted to the full extent of the law. Signed, Sisters of Mercy. But aren't we like that? You know, I'll forgive, but no. Bitterness, an unforgiving spirit, is an absolute barrier to doing what God has called us to do. Love Him and love others into the kingdom. Any thoughts on bitterness, unforgiving spirit? What was the first thing Jesus said on the cross? Father, forgive them. It had to be the first thing He said. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Buzzy reminded me, sometimes the way I describe it is bitterness is an acid which destroys its container. Thank you, sweetheart.
Skip?
Yes, ma'am.
Is bitterness both a choice and a process? I mean, Jesus said first on the cross, Father, forgive them. But at the, He also said, why have you forsaken me? So there, is it both of those? I mean, we make the choice to forgive, but there's the process in Christ in that.
Oh, absolutely. We make the decision to forgive. And then slowly, over a period of time, we rebuild. And then He felt forsaken by the Father. And then on the cross He said, Father, forgive them. My God, why have you forsaken me? You can't say, Father, why have you forsaken me? All you can say is, my God. But then He goes back to, Father, into your hands I surrender my spirit. And the whole Christian life, over and over and over again, is, Father, 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 my God. You got that phone call 2 a.m. you never wanted to get. And then you go back to Father. The Christian life goes from Father to my God. Because there's pain, there's heartache, there's loss, there's sadness, there's illness, there's death. And all we can say is, my God. And that's okay. But we go back to Father. Abba. Daddy. Thank you, Donna. Any other thoughts? Envy. Probably not a problem here. Ingratitude, discontent. I know I have to guard my own heart about what's going on in the country today. The guys I play golf with are complaining about the government from T1 to T18 and then into the clubhouse. I suppose a little bit is okay, but let's guard our hearts. Let's not be just constantly negative. What do you have that wasn't given to you? Everything we have is a gift. Our possessions, our talents, our health, our family, our relationship, it's all a gift. And the 2 Corinthians passage talks about comparison. We dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves. People who compare themselves among themselves, well, I'm doing better than him or her. Paul says, you're not wise. The first talk I ever gave, First Baptist Church of Wheaton, I was 17 years old. They had Youth Sunday and I was the preacher. It was a disaster, I guess. It was 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks. Oh, that's a word like nothing. In everything give thanks. And we get so many blessings and we say thank you. And then you're on the interstate and the tire blows. And you get off the interstate just in time. And I have to work at it, but I say thank you, Lord. Sometimes it's thank you, Lord. But at least the words have to precede the emotion. Thank the Lord for his generosity to the other person. I put in here, I didn't put it in there because it might cause you to stumble or something. Thank the Lord for how well the other practice is doing. The fact is, I have all the money God can trust me with. Oh my, I wish that someone had never told me that. Dietrich Bonhoeffer said, when we fail to give thanks, we reproach God. Gratitude. In Romans 1, the spiral of the human race into the pit of degradation said they were not thankful. Ingratitude leads us into a serious breach of fellowship with God. It can only be restored by saying thanks. Thanks. Whatever it might be. So these are 5 infectious diseases. There are 5 barricades in the area of progress. Unconfessed sin. Anxiety. Certain addictions. An unforgiving spirit. And envy. Obviously many others. But let's ask the Lord in our time alone tomorrow to speak on these subjects or something else, whatever's on his heart. But let's open our hearts to him and say, search me, O God, because the sin so easily besets me. Make sure our hearts are right before him. Sweetheart, closing thought? Let's pray together. I'm sorry. Did you want to say something, Dave?
It just struck me that my immune system is weakened when I think that it's all about me. Each of these is about me and my problems and my issues and my worries and my life. You realize that it's all about God. that I become more immune to these infections.
Amen. Yeah. Life is all about God and other people, but these issues I have to take care of in my heart first. Amen. Thank you. Let's pray. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. There's so many sins that we don't seem to be involved in, and we need to stop and think. Thank you for Jerry Bridges' book, Respectable Sins, because it searches our hearts. And Lord, this weekend, motivate each of us, motivate me to come before you and pray from the heart. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Lord, it's for your glory alone and for our benefit and the welfare of every life we touch. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for forgiveness. Thank you for healing and restoration. Thank you for putting us back on the mission, the one being sent by Jesus Christ, that we might say at the end of life, I glorified you on the earth. I finished the work you gave me to do. Now bless our small group time. Give us the grace to be wise, sensitive, vulnerable in a healthy sense, to love and pray for one another. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.